All right. Thank you, Brother Michael. Hope you understand that the Lord Jesus died as for you and I as though we were the only one. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that good message and song. I want you to go to a book with me for our text this morning that's a little unusual. It's not one you do a lot of your devotions in. It's the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Do you know what the word means, basically? If we get a couple of folks up here to sing, we call them what? A duet? Right? All right. Don't go to sleep on me now. If you do, I will. That means two people. A duet, two people. The book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. It repeats somewhat much of the law given in some of the other books, books of Moses, of course. And in Deuteronomy, we have a repeat of some stuff and some enlargement, of course, also. I want to deal with a little thought from just two verses. A preacher's always in the dilemma. He has to choose just how much he can get done in a short period of time. And sometimes it's just the tip of the iceberg, what we'd like to get into. But that's what I'm going to do this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, the Jewish Shemitah. You don't even know what that means. I looked it up. I know. So I got an advantage of you. But instead of calling it that, let's call it the three R's, the three R's of prophecy. And I'm going to deal just a little bit with that this morning. Three R's of prophecy. Most of us know what the three R's are. They're reading, writing, and arithmetic. We dropped the W's off of a couple of those words, right? How many of you remember a little ditty years ago going to school where they taught you reading and writing and arithmetic, taught to the tune of a hickory stick? Remember that? I remember that hickory stick. But let me tell you something. They dropped off the hickory stick. I get it right. They dropped it off. You know what they did? It ruined reading, writing, and arithmetic. You can't teach kids that don't have any discipline. In fact, that's our problem in the world today. It's terrible in our schools, but you know, some young men have to get into the military to learn discipline, and an undisciplined army will do what I was talking about in Sunday school. They'll throw their weapons down and run. Discipline is very, very important. And as I look here in the text, chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, I want to look at two verses. I want you to find it. I'm not going to read a very long portion here. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2 says, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release, or the Shemitah is what it would be. That word comes from, it deals with the word seven and deals with the word Sabbath and sabbatical. And this was a special seventh day, special sabbatical day that was called the Shemitah because it was called the Lord's release. And it's very important. Now, I'm going to leave some of the bad news of the day alone. I probably get on that too much. But I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on some coming events. That's what makes it a little bit prophetical. I'll talk to you about some of those just a little bit. Now, we've just finished up 2014. Many of you remember, and I'm not going to cover much of this because it was on TV, some good preachers and others. I taught it in church, some, and taught all about the blood moons. If you've heard about the blood moons, would you raise your hand? All right, that's a lot of hands. Good. You remember we had a couple of them in 2014. Somebody made me a nice picture. I got one on the wall in my office of the blood moon. And yes, I stayed up and looked at it. And some of you did. And so that's 2014. But we're into 2015 now. And we understand there's going to be two more blood moons and going to be another couple of solar eclipses. And you say, what's important about that? Because God said in Genesis chapter 1 that he didn't only put those heavenly bodies up there for lights, but he put them up there for signs. And so we can learn something by them. And of course, that is a big thing with Israel. Now, we're not talking about astrology. We're talking about astronomy. We're talking about the fact that we understand that and all the superstitious business and cultism that's built up around astrology. And some of you are worried about what your sign is. You stay in bed that day if it's not in a good spot. Bunch of junk. And the Bible tells you to leave that junk alone and not to mess with it, amen? But anyway, a lot of papers carry the horoscope in it or whatever it's called. And some folks got to get up and read, am I going to have a good day or not? Oh, have mercy on you. Anyway, I want to deal just, I'm going to mention some of that just a little bit. Here we are in 2015, and these things are yet going to happen. Here it is March 1st today. And on March 20th, we'll move in to a solar eclipse thing that is fixing to go on, and it'll be 14 days to Passover. Now, the seven feasts of Israel, you understand Passover? Remember when Moses was leading the children out of Egypt, and they had to take the lamb without spot, without blemish, and put the blood over the doorpost so that the eldest son was not killed? You remember the story. And how they came out. Well, the Jews celebrate the Passover. It's a special time commemorating the time that they were delivered from Egypt. And all of that is good. Now, here's the thing. There's seven main feast days in Israel. And what makes the blood moons and the solar eclipses a little bit attention-getting is because it is so rare, but they are falling on those feast days of Israel. Now, the feast days were called in Hebrew, they were called moeds, which simply means times of appointment. And God was teaching the Jews about what was going to happen, and they were special days that God had laid out and made appointments for certain things to happen. So that's somewhat reason it's interesting to us today. Now, I want to present what I want to say to you this morning, best I can, on three R's. Not reading, writing, arithmetic now. But in verse 2, what does it say? It says, the Lord's release. Do you see that? Verses 1 and 2, talking about a release. Now, it's talking about a special Sabbath. You notice here it says at the end of every 7 years. Now, the Jews had Sabbaths that were special. A lot of folks were mixed up on when Christ was crucified because the only Sabbath they know about is the seventh day, which is Saturday. But there's high days and other Sabbaths mentioned. And Sabbaths would run sometimes seven of them, which would be 49 years. Seven sevens would be 49. And that would be the Jubilee year. And in the Jubilee year, there was a time, the Shemitah year, when they were released. Somebody could have a mortgage on the land. They sold the land to somebody else. And yet that person in the Jubilee year had to give them the land back. And there were certain things. Jews sold themselves sometime into slavery, not in the worst sense of the word that we would have today, but indentured servants. They would work for somebody else, and they'd agree on a certain time, somewhat like what Jacob did. Remember when he went to get him a wife? Remember the electricity wasn't good, and he woke up with the wrong one. How many of you remember that? That's in the Bible, folks. Amen. Amen. But I'm looking here under an R that is release, a time here that is very, very interesting. Now we're coming into 2015, and some of this blood moon stuff that's going to show up is kind of interesting. For instance, on the ninth month of 2015, that'll be September, on the ninth month, on the 13th day, is going to be the Shemitah that I read about here in chapter 15 of Deuteronomy. It's going to be a release day. It's going to be a special, special time. Now, it's on the 9th and 13th, and I can remember that easy because that's my son's birthday. And even when he was a kid sitting on my lap, I used to kid him that he was born on a special day. I used to tell him there's something ominous about you, and I'd play like I found the mark of the beast in the back of his hair, and he didn't like that. But the truth of the matter is, it is a special day. The 9-13 is special as I deal with the Jewish feast days and holidays. Now on the 9 and 13th, there'll be the second solar eclipse. And the next day, and let me give you this thing on the Jewish thing now. Their day doesn't start like ours. We count from midnight. In fact, it was Sunday morning before I went to bed this morning, because it crossed the midnight hour. But if I was dealing with the Jews, their time changes at 6 p.m. and it would become the next day. So on the 9th and 13th of September of 2015, we're going to find that this eclipse takes place, and then we're going to find out that Rosh Hashanah, the fifth feast day of the Jews, takes place after sundown. On 9 and 13, it'll become 9 and 14 with them. And then Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of the Trumpets, the day that so many prophecy students believe that God will fulfill when he comes back for those that are saved with the sound of the trumpets. So you say, you're saying, preacher, the Lord's coming back in 9-13. No, he might come back before I get through this morning. He can come back when he wants to. But I'm telling you, I'm excited about these things because I know he is coming. He is coming soon. And you see the picture right here? This was a Samaita or a release day. And there's a wonderful, wonderful picture here. The slaves were released. The debts were forgiven. The land was returned. Now, you know what I'm saying to you? I'm saying a wonderful picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. Do you understand that Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin? He's the slave of sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're set free from the slavery of sin? Amen. Do you understand that the Jew was forgiven his debt? On the Samaritan year, he was forgiven his debt. When I come to Jesus, all my debt was paid by him. See what a wonderful picture it is when you think about the Lord Jesus and what we have in him. You know, sometimes folks think we Christians are so proud to pounce on somebody else's sin and fuss about it, and we do that, but we better remember we were also in bondage under sin until we met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that takes away our sin and takes away our debt and takes away the payment that we could not make. We understand that. I feel sorry for folks that's captured by the sins of the flesh. I have seen drunks sit and hold their head and bemoan their condition. I've even had some of them say, preacher, I don't even like the taste of it, but I have to have it. They're slaves to it. They're trapped by it. They can't get free of it. And that's a reality not only with alcohol, but dope and a whole lot of other things that makes a person slave to sin. I think about the verse over there in Proverbs 23, around verse 35, talking about the drunk, talking about the overconsumption of alcohol. And it says over there, and this is so true to what you see, it says, they have beaten me, and I felt it not. It says, when I shall awake, I will seek it again. Now, some of you guys, if you've got that in your past or if you've got it in your life right now, you know how true that verse is. How very true. You ever see somebody that got in a car wreck or got beat up in a bar fight? They didn't even know how bad they were hurt until they sobered up. Don't that fulfill the verse? They beat me up and I felt it not. Or when I awoke. Drunk goes to bed feeling good, but how does he awake? Amen? Some of you don't act like I'm talking strange. I'm not talking strange. Just kick your memory in. Amen? And then I will seek it again. You know what the first thing a drunk wakes up and wants? Not ham and eggs. Not grits. Some of you don't know what that is. He seeks another bottle. He seeks another drunk, another drink. Even though the last has left him feeling so bad, he'll seek it again. How true the Bible is when it describes something like that. And I'm saying to you, though, the good news is in Jesus Christ, we've got a shemitah, we have got a day of release, we have got a time that we can be forgiven of our sin and set free from the chains of slavery of sin and have a become a new creature in him. And the picture here is the Lord's release. Thank God I'm released from some things that had a hold of me before I got saved. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. How about the fear of death? You read over in Hebrews chapter 2 over there where it says he took on flesh and blood like the children, like you and I, like human beings have, that he might destroy the works of the devil and set free those that were in bondage to the fear of death. Do you know what? Man is in bondage to his fear of death. That's why you got seat belts in your car. That's why you got pills in your cabinet. That's why you got a doctor's appointment. Well, I don't fear death. Well, why don't you just leave all that stuff alone? It'll happen quicker. Yeah. Truth is, we all fear it. But in Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear it like we used to. Amen. See, the fear of death is because we don't know what's beyond it. But in Jesus, I know what's beyond it. In him, I've got the promise of heaven because he paid my debt. He set me free from sin, and he's released me from the fear of death that is coming to everybody, all of us. But it is different after you get saved. Can you remember the difference, the peace you had about it? Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to go to the doctor and he say, "Preacher, you got 6 months." I don't want to do that. I'd rather, like some of our folks have done recently, just wake up dead. Just let it happen in my sleep, and all right, I left, I went to bed, and I woke up with the Lord. That's great. We'd all prefer that. It may not happen quite that way. There are a lot of folks that go to the doctor, and he tells them 6 months. I think about the guy that was diagnosed with cancer, and he come back and he told his friend, he said, "Doctor told me I've got cancer. I thought I had it, and I know I have now, and I've only got 6 months to live." His friend said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to invite my mother-in-law to come and live with us." He said, "What good would that do?" He said, "It'll make it the longest 6 months I've ever lived in my life." Anyway, come on back. Wasted my time there. Truth is, we don't get to call it, do we? But isn't it wonderful to have peace however it comes? It's all right in Jesus. He's in charge. I'm released from that sin debt. I'm no longer even a slave to it in this life. And no longer do I have to have the fear of death as I had it before I was saved. Amen? Oh, yes, I said I'd use three R's. The next one I want to use is this, and I can't run all the references on it, but I want to talk to you not only about the Lord's release, but about the resurrection. Now, the resurrection, we think about Jesus rising from the grave, rightfully so, and we're going to live because he lived. We understand that. But in the Jewish economy, Rosh Hashanah, that'll be on the 9/14 of 2015, Rosh Hashanah included a resurrection in it. The Jews talked about the time that the righteous dead would live. Now, you and I can call it the resurrection, and we can also call it the rapture. Do you understand at the rapture, when the saints are translated, when God calls the saved out, do you know he's also going to call our loved ones from the grave? Now, their soul is already with him, but he's going to raise that mortal body into immortality. He's going to take that corruption and make incorruption out of it. And the truth is, you've seen pictures. You've seen the pictures of the rapture where the graves are bursting open. And I think God might do it that way as a testimony to the world, but you don't have to. That stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. It was rolled away to show he was not in to the world. Amen? And we need to understand that. But at the rapture, there'll be a resurrection. My mom and dad are buried 3 blocks over here in the cemetery. And somehow, God, they were saved, and he's going to take that body that saw corruption. It's going to become incorrupt. It was mortal. It's going to become immortal. And it's going to join up with that soul, and I'm going to meet them in the air at the rapture. Amen. Hey, that's great. I'm talking about another R. I'm talking about the resurrection and the rapture, if you want to call it that way. The Jews said the righteous dead would rise at Rosh Hashanah at the blowing of the trumpets. But we know the righteous dead are only righteous because of Jesus. And there were Old Testament Jews that definitely we would call them righteous, but they were looking forward to the Lamb of God that would pay off their sin debt. We look back to the cross where he paid off our sin debt, where he died for us. But you see, Daniel in his prayers in Sunday school this morning, he ascribed righteousness to the Lord God. He only is righteous, and you will never become righteous unless you have his righteousness, and you'll only get it through accepting his Son as your Savior. Amen. The resurrection. You know, the New Testament, we know about the resurrection, we know about the rapture, but the Old Testament has those pictures too. Anybody remember the story of Enoch? Remember Enoch? He would walk with God and he was not because God took him, remember? You know, wonderful, wonderful truth there. God took Enoch before the flood came, before the judgment came. The flood was judgment on planet Earth. Do you understand that God is going to call out those that are saved just like he did Enoch before the big judgment, before the tribulation, and before the destruction of the wrath of God upon this earth? He's going to call out the saved. You got that picture all the way through the Bible. You got that picture with Lot down in Sodom. Remember the story? God couldn't even destroy him until he called out Lot. Now, Lot was backslidden. He was down there vexing his soul with the ungodly conversation of the wicked, the Bible says. And yet God, in his mercy, because he belonged to him, went down and pulled him out before he rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, I'm glad God is such a merciful God. I see the picture of the resurrection. I see the picture of the rapture even in the Old Testament. How about Elijah? Remember the story? Caught up in a chariot of fire in the whirlwind without seeing death, caught up with the Lord. You know what happened? The sons of the prophets, the religious group that suspected something was going to happen, they saw Elisha walking with Elijah going down across the Jordan River, and they watched from a mountaintop, and all of a sudden Elijah is gone. And when Elisha comes back, they say to Elisha, let us go hunt him. Maybe he just landed on a mountain around here somewhere. And Elisha told them, don't waste your time. Don't do it. But they did, and they couldn't find him. Can you imagine when the rapture takes place, the news is going to talk about missing persons? Boy, folks get excited over missing family, don't they? How about kids? And hey, listen, parents. Your kids may not be the age of accountability. They may go with the Lord and leave you behind if you're not saved. I'm talking about something very real. Yeah, and on the evening news, children missing. What happened? And all kind of excuses, all kind of stuff, all kind of chaos is going to go on. I really believe it's going to be that way, and it's going to be too late for so many. So many. That's sad. You say, well, then they'll get saved. No, not according to the Bible. The Bible says over there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they'll believe a strong delusion. They'll be deceived. A delusion. Because, and the verse goes on, I'm not turning to it because of time, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it talks about a strong delusion that they believed. God let them have the strong delusion because they believed a lie and received not the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is God loved us, gave his Son to die for us that we could be saved. And those that reject it, left here behind, when the saved are taken, are going to be deceived. They're going to buy into that strong delusion. You know, right now we live in the gospel age. It could come to an end if the trumpet sounded right now. The age of the church age, the age of grace. the age of a man being saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will end just that quick when the trumpet sounds. Could it sound in 2015? Sure could. Could sound before this day is over. Could sound when God says so. But it is interesting, very interesting, that on 9 and 13 of September, a lot of prophecy students are saying, hey, if the Lord Jesus fulfilled the Passover, and he did, if he fulfilled the first four Jewish feasts, and he did, and the fifth one is Rosh Hashanah coming up in September, is he going to come back for the saved and fulfill it? Because Rosh Hashanah is talking about a time of resurrection. It's talking about a time of joy with the Jews that was looking forward to that. Now, we don't know. It is unusual that these heavenly phenomena are happening in coinciding with these Jewish feast days. It is quite interesting because it is so rare that it has happened. And the book of Joel says, before the day of the Lord, that the moon will be turned to blood. Joel chapter 2. Interesting. I don't know that these moons coming up, two bloody moons in this year, 2015, could have anything to do with that. I don't know. I find this, though. Four blood moons, at the last one, is the only one. The rest of them, we saw them here when they come over, or when we got out and looked for them, if the sky was clear and so forth. But you couldn't see them in Israel. But this last one is called a supermoon. It's called a supermoon because it's closer to the earth. It makes it look bigger. And it's going to be a blood moon. And it's going to hang right over Jerusalem. So how do you know? NASA can tell you. All you got to do is look at the astronomy of it. It's out there. They can show it to you in this technological age. And it's going to hang over Jerusalem right at the time that a lot of Jews are saying, Lord, you're fulfilling our feast day. As Christians, we say it's okay. We'll go too. It's all right if Jesus comes. It's all right if one of those trumpets happens to be the one that calls the saved out. It'll be all right with us. We don't know for sure. I'll tell you this much. I do know that there's the Lord's release. We have that in Christ. There is the Lord's resurrection, rapture. Of the righteous dead, only made righteous in Jesus. And then I want to use the third R, and that's the rescue. God's got to come back to rescue Israel. Did you know that? Yes, sir. Are you keeping up with the news?
Yeah.
The Bible says all the nations will gather against Jerusalem. Is that happening right now? My, is it ever happening? And America must be included in that all. When the Prime Minister of Israel can come over here and our president and our leaders don't even care, won't even go see him, boycott the meeting, we're getting on the wrong side. And we're going to reap for being on the wrong side. We certainly are. But the rescue is detailed in the book of Zechariah. If I were to go to chapter 14, and the whole chapter is good. In fact, in chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah, you got the nuclear blast predicted a long time before there was ever an atom bomb invented. In Zechariah, if you went to the Old Testament, you'd have the last book of the Old Testament would be Malachi. If you went back to your left, it would be Zechariah. And if you were to pick it up in verse 14, you can see what is in the news now, getting ready to fulfill the verses that I'm just going to read a few. Just start with verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Well, Joel said before the day of the Lord, the moon would be turned to blood. Interesting. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. What's the next statement? For I will gather how many nations? All. All nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the house rifled. Houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go into the captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. I like the next verse, verse 3, little word then, T-H-E-N, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, nations that's gathered against Jerusalem, as when he fought in the day of battle. He goes on to tell you there's going to be a great big earthquake there on the Mount of Olives, and he goes on down to tell you about the nuclear blast and all that. I can't take time for that. I could encourage you to mark your place and go home and read it, but who wants to do that, right? Amen. Truth of the matter is, America has forgot what the Bible taught because they quit reading it a long time ago. And I'm talking about church members. I'm talking about some of us that don't read it like we should. But this is a rescue. The Lord's coming back to rescue the Jews, to rescue Israel when all the nations gather against it. And when you see Russia doing what she's doing, when you see all ISIS or ISIL, all that bad crowd, what's the purpose? The purpose is go get Israel. They're not going to be satisfied until they do. That's their plan. But God's got something to say about that. He's coming to the rescue. He's coming to the rescue. Iran, going to get nukes, probably already got them. That's okay. God's coming to the rescue. God's going to take care of that thing. Amen. Matthew 24 tells you that when the Lord Jesus comes back in glory, that they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. They're going to look up and see, and they're going to be spellbound. The armies are going to be gathered against Jerusalem. The battle of Armageddon is about to be fought when the Lord comes back. And they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Matthew 24. And what does it say? They all rejoice? No. It says all the tribes of the earth mourn. Scares the fire out of them. The Creator, all of a sudden, they said, didn't exist. Jesus was never coming. But what's this I'm seeing? You talk about striking fear in the hearts of sinners. Did you see on the news the other night? And we've been on a restore-a-thon, so I'm not up to date on stuff. But Channel 13, one of the channels over here in Tampa, just saw a flash of it. They showed a picture, and I heard the words. The reason I turned around and looked, there was a picture on the news, local channel, of a planet. At first, I thought it was the moon. But I heard them talking, and it's some other planet. And in the middle of that planet, a rectangular-looking, man-made-looking type bright light. And the words that caught my attention was, they said, this has really got the attention of NASA. Talking about the Cape over here with the telescopes and the computers. And the woman, news lady, she said, it's got my attention too. It ought to get some folks' attention. Say, what was it? I don't know. The weatherman joked. He said, well, it's just a 7-Eleven and a bowling alley up there. Joke about it. There's going to be a sign in the heavens one day. I think it'll be very bright because it'll be the Lord Jesus leading the armies of heaven back to defeat Satan's Antichrist and all of his armies at the Battle of Armageddon. Yes, sir. You know what Paul said? Paul said he would destroy that man of sin, that Antichrist, with what? The brightness of his coming. Yeah, Jesus. Talk about a bright light. He is the light of the world. And he's going to be the light of judgment when he comes back against the armies of the world that reject him. I say to you this morning, folks, I only touched the surface here just a little bit. But these three R's you can remember. Being released from your sin, your debt in Christ. The Jews gave us a wonderful picture of that on the Shemitah year. And then, of course, the resurrection and the rapture, the two go together. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I want to add one more R to it, and that's this. As I recap the three, the last one being the rescue of Israel by the Lord, I want to give you one more R, and that's this one. Are you ready? READY. Are you ready? You can hear all the preaching about Israel and the signs and the moons and the eclipses and all that. God's good. He gives us warning. He's good. He gives us signs even. He's really good. He gives us his complete word. We should not be surprised if Jesus were to come before dark tonight. We should not be surprised. Do you know him? Are you ready? Have you received him? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Hey, you are in debt to your sins, and he's the only one that can pay off that debt. He's the only one that can set you free as a slave of sin. He's the only one that can allow your name to be written by grace in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll do that if you receive him and you'll trust him. Say, preacher, you're trying to tell me Jesus might come this year? I'm telling you, he might come any minute. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. The Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And on a spiritual level, that can apply to us. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ? I invite you right now to leave that seat, come forward, accept Christ, believe on him through faith, trust him as your Savior. Get out away from that sin debt and all the slavery that's involved with it, and set you free. He'll do that for you if you'll let him. Let's bow our heads, please. How many of you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. I'm saved. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you say that with the uplifted hand? All over the building? All over the building. Thank you. Thank you. Are you here, friend, and you could not lift your hand? You're being honest. You've never trusted Christ. I invite you to change that right now, just like I did one day, and all these that lifted their hands, they did change it one day. And the Lord will change it for you. And the next time you're in a church, you can raise your hand. Yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Wouldn't you rather have that peace that comes from that, that victory that comes from that, instead of going to bed every night saying, Lord, if you take me tonight, I'm not ready. Give me another day. Let me go to church and hear the word again. Let me have another chance to be saved. How many times have you promised him that, but you haven't kept it? Be honest with yourself. Are you ready? All this old world is pointing to the Bible being fulfilled and something happening soon. I pray you're ready.